and we get to be with the Lord.
And Jesus said in Mark 10 verse 21, come take up your cross and follow me. Must mention just this thing about a pastor or a shepherd has a special anointing from God to feed, strengthen, restore, bind up, to heal, to lead and to rule the people of God. And you will find a disaster if a person is appointed as a pastor and he has not got a pastor's heart. If he's an administrator, or if he's just an when you're leading people to the Lord, evangelist, if he's only got that heart, he will not have the pastor's heart. You will have a lot of people coming in, but they'll all be broken and there will be no unity. So God puts a pastor with a pastor's heart over the people. The next demonic psalter is immorality. As I said, the transference of evil spirits comes in sexual union. Lust will draw lust. Homosexuals will draw homosexual behavior. In fact, you get a room full of people, and I guarantee within a half an hour the homosexual spirit would have found the homosexual spirit. And the one with the lust will be find the one with the lust. Like draw unto like. Shechem was tied to Dinah. He could not forget her. He just wanted her after he had raped her. He was tied to her. You can read about it. Through sexual relationships outside of marriage, demonic soul ties are forged. Become one flesh which God purposed solely for marriage. Through adultery, an evil soul tie is created in lust, and this soul tie destroys the holy union which is based upon mutual love and trust. When love and trust are betrayed through adultery, it is most difficult to restore the shattered bonds of marital oneness. So don't think that because you were caught in adultery that you can go to your partner and say, oh, sorry, doll. Just blew it. I'm really sorry. I've confessed my sin to God, so now you best forgive me and let's go on. It's going to take months before she trusts you. And it's not that she doesn't trust God. She doesn't trust you. And you're going to have to earn that trust and respect. And it might take you a whole lifetime. Because you see, if you didn't sow into that marriage before it happened, you've got nothing to reap. Proverbs 5 verse 15, 17 and 19, do not refuse each other moral rights, otherwise you will get thirsty and want to drink elsewhere. So if you, your partner lands up in adultery because you will not give him what he needs in your home, then don't you go cry to God. Because you see, those needs must be met in the home. Otherwise, he's going to go outside and he's going to drink from another system. Results in difficulties in the sexual area when you've had adultery. There's always a problem in the sexual area after that. Soul ties must be cut to give yourself freely to your spouse. Even though petting outside of marriage, even through petting outside of marriage, ties are created. So I'm speaking to the young people. Don't think, well, I'll remain pure, but it doesn't matter how much heavy petting we get into, it's okay. It's not okay. You are forming a soul tie when you are touching another man or a woman in a sexual way. You're being bonded to that person. And unfortunately with the youth today, because they've had a lot of teaching on the sex before marriage is taboo, they say, okay, fine, but they go all the way without penetration in whatever form they choose, and they think that God does not see that as sin. So you now are accountable for what you hear. You cannot say to God one day, I didn't know. Touching the opposite sex in a sexual way, we are bonding to them emotionally and spiritually. If you have had a soul tie with a woman or with another guy, and you exchange gifts, like a chain or letters or gifts that you haven't eaten, okay, not the chocolate type or the flowers that have died. I'm talking about gifts. If you have those, you need to ask the Lord if those are not kerem, C-H E-R-E-M. And you can read about Kerem in Joshua 6, verse 17. In other words, it must be destroyed, because that thing is devoted to destruction. Until you actually destroy it, you cannot break the soul tie with that guy or that girl and give yourself to the next person. So you need to ask the Holy Spirit if you have any of those things, and then they must be burnt. You might have letters from every boyfriend or girlfriend that you've had since 1964. And you're actually clinging to these things because you feed on them, because you haven't got a boyfriend or girlfriend now. And it actually makes you feel good when you read the letters that he wrote to you. Sure, you get self-pity and you cry, but it makes you feel that you were loved. Unless you destroy those things, you're tied to that guy or that girl and you cannot have a new relationship. So not everything, so please don't bring your bed or your cupboard or, you know, you ask the Lord, okay. Because some people have got very rich boyfriends and they buy them furniture now there. And clothes, you know, those days it was taboo if a guy bought you even a t-shirt, you know, it was just not heard of. Now they even buy underwear for the girlfriend. They somehow know the size and everything. Amazing stuff. Okay, 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18 says, flee sexual immorality. Incubi and succubi spirits. These are vicious sexual spirits that can molest and torment. Incubi spirits attack females, while the succubi spirits attack males. These come into prominence in love spells, witchcraft, habits like masturbation or pornography, and experimenting with sexual sin. They even work on young children. When a person sleeps, he is awakened by fondling hands, caressing hot lips, and other lust-inducing stimuli. They eventually produce pain and suffering. They play a cruel game with the individual. Now in Genesis 6 verse 4, we find that these humanoid offspring died at the flood, which ended their physical existence and their spiritual freedom. They were sent to a specific prison, 2 Peter 2 verse 4 and Jude 6. But we see that there are these incubi and succubi spirits, because you see those actually went and copulated with the human beings, and there were giants coming from that relationship. We have got demons that are doing that today, and as Satan is given more and more rights, I really believe that there's going to come a time where we are going to actually see children born that are totally demonized. We actually counseled somebody once who had not had any sex, and she was pregnant with a child from sexual things. So I believe in the last days we are going to see more of this kind of thing, which is very, very frightening. The incubus is a demonic sexual intercourse in which a spirit assumes male proportions and sexually stimulates a human female. Incubus demons may come to a single woman and tell her that it is her right and joy as the bride of Christ to please him by making love to him physically. Sorry, but it's the women that are usually in their 30s that have never been married. The demon can also manifest as a desirable man that she can feel his touch. It can arouse her and bring her to a climax. She can be deceived into believing that she has had a sexual relationship with the Lord himself or her guardian angel. Sin began in the heart of that person before this demonic thing manifested. So it is what the person was thinking, meditating on, desiring, involved in, that allowed this to come. Bestiality. Man and animals can be soul ties. The ultimate expression of perversion is bestiality. This is lying carnally with animals. Some soul ties are formed short of bestiality and are characterized by a false compassion and inordinate affection for animals. Now please, because somebody is very fond of their little dog, don't assume that they are into something. Okay? If you've got a root of rejection, you draw very close to animals, because animals don't hurt you. So please, don't judge. But there are cases where that animal can become so close that that can lead to bestiality. Unfortunately, it's mostly men. Evil companions corrupt good habits. Do not have a soul tie with people that are not Christians. They will mislead you. They will lead you away from God. Perverted family ties. These are close family ties that continue into the adult life of the child. The apron strings must be cut. The soul tie between parent and adult offspring must be severed. With women, it occurs as she's preparing for marriage. You cut the soul tie. You tell her what you're going to do. You pray together. You say, we now release you to your husband, that she can now get on and make her life and not run back to you every time there's a problem. And if she does, you send her back. When this tie is not severed at the right time, that which was good and beneficial becomes evil through control and possessiveness, and there's your mother-in-law syndrome. When there's been no bonding between a parent and a child, the child is left with a sense of incompleteness which leaves him restless. He will always be searching for love bonding, even if it's the wrong kind. He just wants love. Possibly the most subtle form of all domination and soul ties comes from parents attempting to live their frustrated lives, life ambitions, out through their children. Because you were not given the opportunity to do things, you now live it out through your child, making your child go to music, making your child play tennis, making your child play rugby, because you couldn't do it. This type of control exercised over another in an ungodly manner can cause bondage. Soul ties with the dead. When a family member or a close friend dies, the soul tie formed with that person must be dissolved. They are no longer husband and wife and never will be again. When my husband heard this, he was very grieved, because he couldn't believe that we weren't going to be married and that I could actually live somewhere else. You know, this was just too much for him. Death breaks the marriage bond. The Bible's pattern for mourning is limited to a few days, and there's no marriage in heaven. Prolonged mourning indicates the continuation of the soul tie, which invites spirits of sorrow, grief, and loneliness to come in. Now, some people need 6 months to walk through that time of mourning. Other people walk through it in 3 weeks. We're all different. So please, do not go to somebody who's lost a loved one in the past year and say to them that they need to break a soul tie. I would suggest that person must have walked a full year before they even consider to break the soul tie with the person who has died. Demonic ties of incest. Sexual perversion in family relationships has become alarmingly prevalent. Incestuous copulation between fathers and their daughters, mothers and their sons, brothers and sisters, uncles and nieces, and so on. Incest results in guilt, shame, hatred of the body, and a bad relationship with the father, which will later affect all relationships with men. Later on, women will either lead a promiscuous life, driven by lust, or become frigid and fearful of men. The sense of shame can be so great that they will be unable to enter into a normal marriage relationship. Anorexia and bulimia are also common symptoms of hatred of the body, and I'll deal with that tomorrow. The man could later turn to homosexuality and be driven by a perverse spirit and have self-hatred. Incest between father and daughter will display itself in an unnatural bonding with jealousy and overprotection. The first boyfriend that comes on the scene, the father nearly freaks out. He doesn't want her to go anywhere. He doesn't want this guy near her. Now, I've got to old daughters already, okay? And my husband wasn't so keen about them going out with another guy. I mean, he checked this guy out from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, all but asking how much his father earned, sort of thing. Okay, because you want to protect. But there's something else. You don't want this guy to actually show affection. It's that form of jealousy. Soul ties with the church. Before I talk on the soul ties of the church, I just want to mention people that we would call in the ministry leeches. There can be attachments that become so tight and drawing off life to such a degree that they would be as a leech. It is when someone draws energy from you in the same way that a leech draws blood from a victim. A leech is someone who has no intention of becoming whole. They want to be carried for as long as anyone will carry them and endure them. They never want to stand on their own two feet. They want counselling once a week for the next 50 years. And when they've gone through all the counsellors in this church, then they move to the next church. And they start all over again. And they demand the pastor's attention and the pastor's wife's attention, or the counsellor's attention. They'll phone you all hours of the night. They'll phone you in the morning. They'll phone you anytime they feel they own you. Now believe me, anybody who's been in counselling can tell you they've had one, if not five of those. Now this is for us to hear, because you see, we're the ones that can become the leeches. You and I can become a leech. A leech drains you of all compassion. Eventually you don't care about anybody with a problem because you burnt out. They finish you off and Satan says, "Yoo-hoo, another one bites the dust," because then there's nobody to do the work. Scripture says, for you and I to take note, in James 5 verse 13, if anyone is suffering, call the pastor. No, it says he must pray. You don't have to always run to get somebody to pray for you. You pray, and then you find somebody. He who is cheerful, not many, he must sing songs. And he who is sick, he must call the elders. The elders don't have antennae that they can who's sick in the place. You must phone up and say, "I am ill, can the elders come and pray for me? Or I will be in church on Sunday, can the elders anoint me with oil?" It's up to us to do that. Now that was the nice part for the leadership. They sort of felt, say it, teach them. Now we give it to them, okay? Christ is the head of the church. The goal of all leadership is to join each member to Christ and to foster a deep relationship between Jesus and his body. The body without a head is a monster. So if Jesus is not the head of that body, it's a monster. If there are two heads, if you've got a leader that now wants to compete with Jesus, it's also a monster, because somebody with two heads is just as bad as one without. It can happen that a pastor will join members to himself and his vision rather than to Christ. This can operate through a pastor as a seducing spirit, or it can come from the congregation wanting to elevate and idolize the pastor. And that's why that structure as a pyramid is so dangerous, because the people can actually elevate that pastor. And the pastor is been put up there and he thinks, "Well, phew, thank goodness I don't have to face all of this," and he's grateful. But they slowly elevating him that he is somebody so special. He doesn't even need prayer. You see? That's what can happen. The pastor will have to humble himself continually to ward off this attack. The Bible tells us we must humble ourselves. And you know the way he will humble himself? Is that he is always open for somebody else to pray for him. He's quite willing to come and say, "Okay, I need prayer today. Would you please pray for me?" He can turn up at the cell meeting and say, "Okay, I have a problem. I'm feeling really depressed. I need prayer." See? He's not immune to these things, and he's actually honest to tell you exactly where he's at. That's when he is humbling himself. Now, an abusive system does not serve and equip people. It uses people up. literally uses them up. And you know, Ezekiel 34 has got such a strong word to false shepherds. And if you are in leadership in any form, I encourage you, at least every 3 months, to read Ezekiel 34 and Zechariah 11 and see what the false shepherd does. And ask God to examine you if there's anything like that creeping into your ministry. Because you want to come to God with a pure heart and clean hands. It is a place where people have been given responsibility to do a job, but do not have the authority from God to do it. Spirits of control, manipulation and greed are found that will discourage questioning from the congregation. It comes with that thing, you do as we say. We've heard from God, now you get on and do it. Demons of greed. Greed for what? What are the people greeding for? What are these false teachers or false leaders greeding for? Lust, power, possessions, and even praise. Now you and I can fall into this. We must not lust after people to honor us, to give us accolades, to crown us with praise. The system of the world is based on this lust. The banquets and the celebrations for the Emmy Awards, the Oscars, the Olympics, and all the gold medals are based on a greed for honor and reward. Now every church has people like this. They just want to be honored. Praise must be given where praise is due. We must encourage people. We must go and tell people when they've done a good job. You mustn't just ignore it and keep quiet. But it's more in a form of encouragement, of encouraging them to go on with God. The body of Christ lacks encouragement. Do you know that? And if it had more encouragement, maybe we wouldn't have people wanting to be noticed. We need to encourage the one who does the smallest thing, to thank them, to acknowledge that little bit of work that they're doing. Because you see, when God finds them faithful with those small things, He's going to promote them. But what do? We notice all the big shots. We only talk to the big shots. And we're always telling them how wonderful they are and what a wonderful anointing and what a wonderful ministry. And the others are just the slogger that eventually become disillusioned and discouraged and fall away. The scripture says in Matthew 19 verse 30, but many who are first will be last. And the last will be first. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Wolves don't hate sheep. They really don't hate sheep. But they need to consume them. They have to eat them to satisfy their own hunger. What causes a shepherd to devour his sheep? Greed. Unsatisfied mental hunger. He will control the people. Unsatisfied ego hunger. He will puff with pride. Unsatisfied emotional hunger. He will reject them or want them to keep praising him. When God sees a place like that, there comes a time where he will write Ichabod. And Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And it is written by God. And Ezekiel 8 verse 4 to 7, God's glory was progressive in its departure. You don't wake up one day and come to church and say, uh-oh, something's amiss. God's not here in this place. And he doesn't live in the building, okay? He doesn't do it that way. It's gradual. Suddenly you notice the anointing's not there anymore. Suddenly you notice there's no word preached. There's just emotional stuff. Stuff to keep you entertained. Not God's word being preached. That you come under conviction to change your life. And when this glory departed in Ezekiel, we see that it only reappeared in John 11, verse 14. Romans 16 verse 17 shows us that you can detect a true leader by his godliness, his unselfish attitude, and his faithfulness. The binding of the soul to promises and inner vows. We spoke about the inner vows earlier on. You can bind your soul with a promise, and then it's up to you to keep it. This is called an inner vow. We spoke about the examples of inner vows. I just want to mention that if a woman has been raped or molested, vows never to give herself to anyone again. She remains rigid and unfulfilled all of her life. These people that have made these inner vows and are so bound need to be loved back to life. And 1 John 3:16, you lay down your life for the brethren. As a counselor, you may be called to walk with someone for a long time, or be a mother or a father to them. This must be led by the Holy Spirit, as it can be very draining, and there can be many complications of the person thinking that they're falling in love with you, or that they need to move into your house, or you thinking, well, I don't love my husband anymore, or my wife. So there can be big problems, but if the Holy Spirit has told you to do it, He will give you the grace to walk it out. But even so, when we do it, and when we're counseling any person over a long period of time, we must remain transparent and be able to look at the counselee with the following in mind. You need to assess each person that you walk with and say, has the person's relationship with Jesus improved? Is he closer than he was before? Is his walk stronger and freer? Is he reading or studying the Word more? Does he fellowship with other believers? Is he seeking the Lord with more zeal and beginning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit himself? It doesn't matter whether he comes under the anointing every Sunday and froths and jumps and dances and giggles and carries on like a lunatic. And where you often think it's the Holy Spirit, and now I think you think, well, maybe those things we thought for the Holy Spirit weren't the Holy Spirit. Okay? That doesn't mean that he's getting free. That doesn't mean that he's growing. This is what you look for. Not what happens in a meeting. You look at what's happening with his walk with God. And if he's still having all these glorious experiences and this is not happening, you say to him, listen here, this is the line. You either get into God's Word or you're out. It's either what? Shape up or ship out. You stop playing with us. We're not wasting our time on you. Spending hours of counseling. We give you things. We buy things for you. We nurture you. And then you turn around and go off on your own again. Give it to him straight. And he must receive it. Because if he loves God, he will correct his ways. And he will work it out. It is the power of the Word that causes one to grow up. A counselor cannot replace the Lord or cause growth. A counselor can't cause you to grow. Your pastor can't even cause you to grow. Nor your home cell leader. So stop looking to them to grow. God does the changing deep in the heart of man. But a counselor will labor in prayer until Christ is formed in you. And Galatians 4:19 says, my children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. So for us, don't abuse the counselors and the leaders. Don't abuse them. And if you are a leader, watch carefully that Satan doesn't creep in and cause you to puff up with pride that you never need prayer. In fact, if I can say it almost as a rebuke, when a course like this comes, the home cell leaders and all the leaders, every leader, should have been up here front, straight away, and said, God, set me free if there be anything. But their pride would keep them, because what would my soul say if I received ministry? And that's why I was so grateful to the Lord on that second night when the Lord said to me, pray for Delia. And I prayed for her to be set free from that sinusitis, so that you could see that not one of us can say we don't need any more ministry. We continuously ministering one to another as the Lord reveals things in our life. Always be open to what God wants to do in your life. We're now going to pray. a prayer to renounce the sexual sin in our lives. The prayer on page 74 is what we are going to pray. But I encourage you that if you know that you've really been into some heavy things, you've really led a promiscuous life, I encourage you to pray the prayer on page 76 at home this evening when you get there, so that you can deal specifically with the stuff that you've got involved with. We're doing a general prayer of untangling the sexual bondages. When we've prayed this prayer, we're going to then turn to page 80 and we are going to ask the Father to break the soul ties with all the people that we have had a sexual union with. Throughout our lifetime, if we've been involved with any sexual immorality, fornication, adultery, we're going to ask God to cut that soul tie that we can now give ourselves to our spouse. So would you like to stand, please? So we are going to pray the prayer at the bottom of page 74. If you don't have a manual, would you share with somebody, please? All together. Lord Jesus, I have been involved in sexual sin, and I do now repent and confess to you that I have committed. Now in your mind, you confess your sin as the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind. The sexual sin. All those things that I've spoken about. The pornography, the masturbation, fornication, the adultery, the inordinate desire, the lust, fantasy lust, the homosexual behavior, dressing to draw other men's attention, entertaining an incubi or a succubi spirit. Let's carry on. I claim freedom for my body and mind from the bondage of sexual slavery, and claim the promise that whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be delivered. Lord, you have promised that if I confess my sins, you will forgive my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I do now claim and accept your forgiveness and cleansing. Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, my Savior, and I am notifying you now that in the name of I'm reclaiming every area of my mind and body which has formerly been given to you and your host. Specifically, I claim freedom and cleansing in the areas of sexual sin. And as a believer priest, I renounce you and your host and command that they leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Put down your book, please. Now, if you have a piece of jewelry on that comes from somebody that you are trying to break a soul tie, either a ring, earrings, necklace, whatever you have on, would you please take it off and put it into your bag or into your pocket so that you do not have anything that will strengthen that which we are now trying to break. Right, bow your head. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that we can deal with these sins today and not have to stand in your courts one day and have it brought in front of all to see. Lord, we feel such shame and guilt when we look back on our lives, especially before we were born again. We remember the horrific past. And worst of all, Lord, we thought we were so great. We thought we were so smart because we were just putting notches in a belt. Father, please forgive us for thinking that we could carry on with this not being dealt with. Thank you that you've given us this opportunity, Lord. And we now declare that we have the assurance that we are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, that we are cleansed and made new in Jesus' name. And Father, we ask you to break every sexual curse that we have deliberately brought upon ourselves and those that have come from our ancestors. We cut the bloodlines and claim freedom from them in the name of Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that we must reap what we have sown, but we ask you for your grace and mercy to be upon us. Thank you that we can reclaim all the ground that we've ever given to Satan in body, soul, or spirit. We dedicate ourselves to you, dear Lord, to be used for your glory alone. We want you to empower and control every area of our lives, including all our sexual powers, that from now on they might be used according to your will. We also give you our affections, emotions, and desires, and ask you to motivate them and control them by your Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, to help us to break these soul ties now, in Jesus' name. So turn to page 80. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I submit my soul, my desires, and my emotions to your Spirit. I confess, Father, as sin, all my promiscuous premarital sexual relationships and all sexual relationships outside of marriage. Set all my ungodly spirit, soul, and body ties as sin. I thank you for forgiving me and cleansing me right now by the shed blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father, for giving me the keys of your kingdom, the keys of spiritual authority. What I bind is bound, and what I loose is loosed. In Jesus' name, I ask you to loose me from all soulish ties to past sexual partners and ungodly relationships. Lord God, please uproot all those tentacles of sexual bondage. Lay the axe to the root of that tree of emotional longing, of dependency, of enslaving thoughts. I bind, renounce, and resist any evil spirits that have reinforced these soul ties or that may have been transferred to me through evil associates. I cancel your assignments against me in Jesus' name, and I declare your bondage over me has been broken. I will not receive you again. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name, please cause my soul to forget all illicit union, so that I am free to give my soul totally to you and to my mate. Father, I receive your forgiveness for all my past sex sins. I believe I am totally forgiven. I thank you for remembering my sins no more. Thank you for cleansing me from all unrighteousness. I commit myself totally to you. By your grace, please keep me holy in my spirit, my soul, and my body. I now give you all praise, might, dominion, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your book.